This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Monday the 14th of March. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Rachel Tyler-Jones. Tonight on the show, we look at the importance of the past in influencing our future as we hear from the Honourable Michael Kirby in his keynote address at La Trobe University's panel, Where Next After Marriage Equality? In the lead-up to the 35th International AIDS Candlelight Memorial this Sunday, we look at our HIV-positive community and the importance of moving forward while remembering the past. And we head to Lisbon with Joy Eurovision as we speak to performers at the 2018 Eurovision Song Contest about coming out, LGBTI pride and representing their countries.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
The Honourable Michael Kirby was the keynote speaker at La Trobe University's panel looking at Where Next for Marriage Equality. Now that marriage equality is out of the way, there are many issues that we need to focus on to create a better future for LGBTI Australians. And before beginning his keynote address, Justice Kirby spoke about the importance of preserving our history and the work we do for our communities. Because we shouldn't just remember the past, we should record it as well.
Sex. Which is something that many people run a mile or more miles from in order to avoid thinking about, talking about, contemplating. And it's a great tribute, isn't it, to La Trobe University for so many years it has been hosting and supporting this extremely important initiative of the Australian Research Centre and that it's been doing so with, as has been said by the Deputy Vice-Chancellor, a significant research team and important research, which is not just addressed to us in Australia, but to the human family and the issue of sex, which is a worldwide issue of importance, sex, gender and equality. As a distinguished ambassador, I do emphasise the adjective there. As a distinguished ambassador, I received a very interesting briefing on the current work of the centre. And it really is an amazing kaleidoscope of important research projects, which was really astonishing, and it ought to be better known at La Trobe and in the Australian community. HIV and the quality of life, not just a disease, not just a virus, but the impact on the quality of life and self-perception of the quality of life of people who are living with HIV. It's not over. It's still continuing, and for many it will continue for many decades to come. The issue of sexual perception in MSM, men who have sex with men, and the prostate, a very important issue which is producing extremely interesting and world-first research. As was said at Indiana University by the president of that university when Dr. Kinsey was performing his work, if this matter is a matter of proper scientific research, it will be done at Indiana University. Well, the same is said at La Trobe University. If it is a proper matter of scientific research, it will be done here. Sexuality education, a controversial subject, but an extremely important one, is the subject of research. Sexual violence, it isn't only confined to heterosexual relationships. It also exists in LGBT relationships, and this is the subject of empirical research, gathering the data, drawing the inferences, and calculating the policy implications. Co-infections, HIV and other diseases, and the co-infections and their impact on individuals and on communities. Adolescent sexual health, an issue that some people would think far too controversial to investigate, but this is being investigated, and largely by online research. Adolescents today don't believe anything exists if it isn't online, and therefore it's an appropriate and apparently very successful way. And I was interested to hear that the belief is that the reports that are received in anonymous online responses are judged to be more accurate than receipts, than information received in face-to-face dialogue. And international projects and cooperation in this area. I raised the question, and the DVC might care to consider this, that this is such an important, such a unique and such a diverse enterprise that's been going on here now for years, that very great care should be taken in the here and now to collect and archive the information about the early days and the current days of the research in this area. How many other universities are doing research in this country in such important areas? And it will not be good enough if La Trobe doesn't record and keep the record of this. There should be immediate arrangements made with the public affairs broadcasting and other media activities at La Trobe University to record conversations with the personnel, including some who have retired but are still compos mentis, to record what was done in those early days and how it happened that La Trobe University took this project on and is continuing its important work, because it wouldn't have been easy in those early days, and it isn't always easy today. But in the face of any opposition, La Trobe University has continued the work, and I think it's really important that there should be filmed interviews of the people who were at the forefront in this area, and I hope that that should be done. That's my first little bit of free advice as the distinguished ambassador for the research centre, and I'm going to be checking up, as a distinguished ambassador does, as to what is being done about it.
You can hear the Honourable Michael Kirby's entire keynote address from the panel at La Trobe University discussing where next after marriage equality via the Informus podcast page on the Joy website, as they explore the challenges still facing Australia's LGBTI communities.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
The International AIDS Candlelight Memorial reminds us of the tremendous impact that HIV and the AIDS movement have had on our lives, emphasising the need for people living with and affected by HIV to join hands and reflect on the past and the precious lives that have been lost. The 35th International AIDS Candlelight Memorials are taking place this Sunday, May 20th, around Australia and the world. And Dina Curie spoke to Max Nigel, Living Positive Victoria's Speakers Bureau Coordinator, about the importance of looking to the future but still remembering the past at this year's Candlelight Memorial.
HIV and AIDS has had an enormous impact globally, and you know, the millions of lives that were lost. What we have to remember is that HIV is still here. And whilst it may be a manageable disease here in Australia, for in the rest of the world, that is not the case in many countries. So the Candlelight Memorial actually reminds us about the ongoing impact of HIV and how that we really need to join hands in solidarity with the rest of the world to share our stories from the past and the current stories of speakers who are living with HIV in particular, so that as a community we come together to acknowledge the global impact of HIV.
I think one of the really important things that you've just said there is hearing from people who are living with HIV, and one of the sub-themes for speakers at the memorial that's going to be happening here in Victoria is a united and engaged community. I think when it comes to HIV, a lot of people who aren't HIV positive sometimes forget that there is a HIV positive community. It's not just people in isolation, even though many people can feel that way.
Yes, well, I've been a part of the HIV community since I was diagnosed in 1987, so it's a long, long time. And back then, there was very little hope. But nowadays, for our community, anybody who is diagnosed can look forward to quite a long, healthy life, almost comparable to anybody else. So the community I'm part of, and I'm really fortunate in working for Living Positive Victoria, and that's been a very empowering thing for me to be more open about my status. But when it comes to so many others, there is so much fear that pervades people thinking about disclosing their status. And that means that people carry this massive burden and always fearful about being found out. So as a community, we have people who are open about their status. We have people who are still very much keeping it very private. So working in a community like this, we have to acknowledge that it's everyone's right to disclose or to not disclose. And when you are more open about your status, I suppose it's our sense of community and belonging becomes more powerful. And this is where the work with the Speakers Bureau that I do is such an affirmation of people who are able to be open about their status. So we hope that by others being open about their status, we encourage others that may be considering this to actually think that on International Candlelight Memorial that they might feel more confident about disclosing. And having an event like the memorial with public passing by, they will hear stories of people living with HIV. They will feel that we are still here and that our voices still need to be heard, because my sense is the majority of Australians, HIV just doesn't register on their radar. This is a public event. So the reason it is public is we want people who are not HIV positive to also come along and show support for us, for people who are living with HIV, because HIV is everyone's responsibility, and it is our allies that do support us, that do allow us to live well with HIV, who are crucially important in that process. And for a person who is HIV negative, we must remember the early years where if it wasn't for our allies, our supporters, who nursed us, who cared for us. And that continues to this day. So I would ask anybody who is HIV negative to think they are actually doing themselves a great service to come along and to pay homage to the people who have died, but also pay homage to the people who are living with HIV and give us greater support. We are talking about activism this year. Each year I look at the theme of the memorial, reflecting on our past and preparing for our future is this year's theme. But then what is it that I want in the way of speakers, and how we can acknowledge our past, but not only that, the future. So two of our speakers, Bill O'Loughlin and Fiona Patton, have been well known for their activism going right back to the very early days. If it wasn't for people like Bill and Fiona, we wouldn't have that knowledge, that extraordinary knowledge that exists, that is being transferred to a newer generation of activists. I note too that the upcoming AIDS conference in Amsterdam has got a strong focus on youth-led activism. So for people to come along to the memorial, this is about hearing people who were activists in the past, who are still activists, who are still contributing to society, and who are mentoring younger people to become that new group of activists until such time as HIV is defeated.
That was Max Nigel from Living Positive Victoria. You can find details about AIDS Candlelight Memorials in your state this Sunday at candlelightmemorial.org.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
This year's Eurovision Song Contest has been won by Netta from Israel with her song Toy. In a show of support for the LGBTI communities, Eurovision banned a major Chinese network from airing the final, won by Netta, after the broadcaster cut an act depicting a gay love story and censored rainbow flags in the audience. The immediate action taken by Eurovision to end the partnership with Mango TV was a much appreciated show of solidarity with the LGBTI communities. Michael Pohl reports direct from Eurovision 2018 in Lisbon, where he speaks to contestant Sara Aalto from Finland about the freedom of coming out and Christabel about her support of the LGBTI communities in her home country of Malta.
Why do we always feel like we need to try? Why do we believe that we need to be somebody else to feel alive?
Gone from being firmly in the closet to coming out and being out and proud. And the performance today and your music video for Monsters is very queer and very exciting. What freedoms, you're talking about that freedom of being yourself, what freedoms has coming out had for you personally and also as a musician?
You mean what kind of freedom it gave to me?
Yeah.
When I came out?
Yeah.
Well, for me, I was with my beautiful girlfriend. I was together with her for 1 year before we came out. So, of course, it was really awkward when I would be everywhere and do my social media and be like, oh, I'm the happiest girl in the world, and always posing on my own and, like, you know, enjoying these moments on my own, which was like, what the... I have this... girl like next to me, but I'm not allowed to kind of be like, oh, we're here together. So, you know, when you actually come out, it's like the best feeling ever, because you can actually say that I am happy because I am in love, and love is the most important thing in the world. So it's like it's like you can breathe again. It's such an amazing feeling. And also, good question. As a musician, as a performer, it also gives me freedom, actually, to really represent myself, you know? It's like, I feel like at the moment I have no rules, because I love these questions. Nobody has ever asked me that, so I'm like, yeah. Like, now when I perform, it's like I can do whatever I want, because I know there is no walls, or there is nothing there. It's just me, and I can be exactly what I want, and I can do the performance that I want. And if somebody doesn't like it, that person can just leave, you know? That person doesn't have to come and see me, if you know? I'm just myself. Thank you for the question.
Yes. Sara, you're an inspiration. Michael with you from Lisbon, and with me is a woman who has been taking our playlist by storm. You've been loving her. You've been loving hearing what she's been offering. It's Sara Aalto from Finland. Hello, Sara.
Hello. Very nice pronunciation.
You are the queen of second place, and which is great, because, you know, Australians, we just come from behind sometimes and we win things, and that's how we do things.
Mm-hmm.
How's it been every single time coming second? Are you getting used to it?
It feels perfect. It's like the best thing ever. It's like you get to be in the competition until the final night, and people vote for you like crazy if you come second. You know, it means you have so much fans, but then you don't have to, you know, when you win, you have these contracts and stuff. Then you are like, you are free as a bird, but you still have the same publicity and the same amount of fans in a way. It's great. I've been so happy every single time. But this time, in Eurovision, I'm not sure. If I come second, it's going to be like a world record of second places.
I'll have to get you a silver suit to wear, huh?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You were talking about how competitions are good in the press conference before, and how you have to grab those experiences and run with them.
Yeah.
What sort of things have you done to try and keep the momentum going through both your Finnish experiences and also your British ones?
It's very important that you just keep on working. You kind of have to push yourself after the competitions, like trying to get gigs. And I've been very lucky to have a manager also in Finland and also in the UK who've been helping me. So you kind of have to create all these campaigns and promotional opportunities, and you have to be very creative to do that. But it's worth it. It's very hard work. Yeah.
Is it harder because you're a lesbian?
Is it harder? I actually don't think so. I think it's easier in a way because I don't have to lie about myself. Because I'm publicly out. So people actually find it quite interesting when they are able to find an honest person who is ready to speak about herself in an honest way. And Finnish people are very honest in general. I'm not going to pretend anything. I'm just who I am, and I'm speaking the truth. And because if I'm able to help people by being myself, that's the best thing ever. So I think for me it has been actually in a way easier. In a way, it's funny, but I think just being yourself makes things easier. So everybody should be who they are.
It's hard though for some people to be who they are, because for whatever reason, like you, you know, there was the fame, well, the fame, but the possibilities of what could come next, trying to keep things seeming as normal in terms of what society would expect in terms of, you know, being straight or being, you know, all those sort of things. Did life change for you through that period of coming out in any sort of way?
Yeah, it changed in a beautiful way. Because I was in a closet for 1 year. Of course, I understand myself because I also wanted to know if this relationship was going to work and everything. You know, it's because I'm a public person, so it's not the easiest thing to just do, just have a girlfriend. You know? But after coming out, everything was so much easier and everybody loved it. Everybody was so supportive. I didn't lose any fans. I got more fans because people were like, oh, now we get you, Sarah. Like, now, like, you know, now there's no wall, you know, in between us. It's like, you know, people really appreciated my honesty. And also, internationally, I felt it opened more doors than closed. So I think the world is ready for people to be who they are. It's beautiful.
With me is a woman who has been trying and trying and trying to get to Eurovision, and finally she's here. She's from Malta. Her name's Christabel. Welcome to Joy.
Hi, thank you for having me and for interviewing me today. Eurovision Song Contest is a huge platform for artists all over the world now, basically, to showcase their music. Obviously, this year I wanted to take part and win, and I worked hard for it, and that's what happened. I don't know if I would have taken part another time after this year, so...
It makes sense, you know. You're also a big ally of the LGBT community in Malta.
Yes,
what brought you to that?
Well, we are a very progressive country, even though we have some conservatives in our country, but we have progressed a lot. And I'm all for gay rights and all for having people love whoever they want and not be judged for it, you know. So I have so many gay friends that I can't not love them. They're like, there's nothing not to love. It's amazing. They're amazing people.
And you've done a few prides as well.
Yes, I have.
What's it been? What's that been like for you?
Well, people just love music, and they just love my music, and I love performing it in front of them, like having like people jumping up and down and singing to my songs. It's great.
Your song this year is called Taboo.
Yes.
It's about bullying. While some people are sort of associated, is there something else?
It is associated with bullying because it can lead to mental illnesses. So it's all about breaking the taboo of mental illness and having all those people that are ashamed to talk about their problems. I'm not telling them to go out in the open and talk about them in the middle of the streets on a microphone, but I'm asking people to seek help and not be ashamed of it, because that's how the taboo will be broken.
Is there, have you had any experiences, not around you, where
It is a very personal song for me because I passed through a pretty rough time. I needed to seek help. It took me a while to recognize that I needed it. And when I did, I said, why not write a message about it and get people to do what I did?
The audio in those interviews is from Joy's Eurovision podcast, direct from Lisbon. You can hear highlights and interviews from performers at this year's Eurovision by heading to Joy Eurovision on the Joy website at joy.org.au.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you would like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Rachel Tyler Jones.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.